Oh, you can't, can you?
I lifted her into the air and held her against me, slowly lowering her as I kissed her sweet lips.
Brother!
I heard Ryan shout through my jest-filled haze. I lowered her to the floor and turned my head to find him.
Everyone, this is our baby brother, Nick. Everyone say hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick, rang out in unison from the crowd, and I offered a small wave before meeting Frank's eyes. He beckoned me over. I found the one empty seat at the bar and placed Jess in it. Don't move, I told her before hopping behind the bar with my brothers. Hi there, sweetheart, I flirted with Jess as I handed her a menu. What can I get for you? She laughed as she looked at the menu, the smile never leaving her lips as she read the names of some of the menu items out loud.
No bad days, guy hater, adios pantalones, what are these?
I smirked.
They're the drinks. Hysterical,
she grinned as she ran her finger down the ingredients listed for each drink.
Great names, right? They're awesome,
pride soared within me. I'd not only designed the drink menu she was holding, but I'd also helped name the drinks. I had to convince Frank that fun drink names would inspire conversation between customers and would eventually lead to them ordering more and sticking around. He'd shaken his head, unable to believe the gimmick would actually work, but had promised to give it a try. Ryan, on the other hand, was on board the second we'd started tossing out crazy names, even calling one the Friendship Bracelet. I hated it, but Ryan and I had been right. The cocktails with the silly names were the most popular drinks in the bar, and did inspire lots of conversations and repeat clients.
Which one do you think I'd like the best?
Jess squirmed on her bar stool as I leaned close to her, my elbows on the bar.
Guy hater is whiskey-based, I said, and she winced. And I don't think you're a whiskey girl, so that one's out. Adios pantalones is obviously tequila-based, she shouted, finishing my sentence, and I high-fived her. I love that you have a drink called Goodbye Pants. Rachel will freaking die when I tell her. Well, you know what they say about tequila. It makes your clothes fall off,
we both said in unison, laughing.
I don't really like tequila, to be honest,
she said quietly, as if she might offend the tequila gods.
One bad tequila night and I was ruined forever. Can't even handle smelling the stuff.
So I guess that leaves us with No Bad Days, which is vodka-based, and honestly one of the best drinks in the bar. You'll love it. She bit at her bottom lip.
Okay. Do you know how to make it?
I wanted to impress her so fucking bad, but knew that I'd probably ruin the damn drink if I tried making it myself.
I want to tell you yes, Jess, but it's like a 10-step drink, so it's pretty complicated. Ryan makes them best, and I haven't practiced enough. Aw, you can practice on me,
she suggested, and I smiled so big, I thought my face might split. Ryan came to my side and tossed his arm around my shoulders.
She's way too pretty for you, baby brother.
I nodded in agreement as Jess's cheeks turned pink.
I'm well aware. I'm Ryan, sweetheart. Anytime you want to get rid of this guy and date someone more your caliber, you know where to find me.
He reached for her hand and placed a kiss on top of it, and I thought for a second about knocking the baseball hat right off his head.
I might be younger, but I will fight you, I said, staking my claim. And you'll lose, he teased. What are you having? I would like a no bad days, please,
she said with a soft giggle.
Coming right up.
Ryan winked at her, and I growled under my breath. I knew he was only flirting, turning on the charm even more to get a rise out of me and make Jess feel special. But I didn't like it. Go flirt with the other 30 women in this damn bar, I wanted to yell at him, but I didn't. We both watched as Ryan grabbed ingredients, measuring and pouring them into the chrome shaker. He put a lid on the canister and shook it with both hands, the muscles in his arms flexing as women at the bar swooned and took videos of him to post on social media sites. This kind of thing was gold, and I encouraged patrons to film us, talk us up, brag about the hot brothers at Sam's bar. Word of mouth was the best thing for any business, and a bar was no exception.
You were right,
Jess said to me, and I cocked an eyebrow at her.
About?
He might be more charming than you are.
I narrowed my eyes, fighting off the urge to shove my brother for no other reason than I was an immature, competitive jackass sometimes. This was definitely one of those times.
Only because he's had 8 years longer than I have to practice. Just wait till you see me in 8 years.
I gave her my best smile as Ryan stood in front of Jess, pouring her drink through a small strainer before peeling back the rind of an orange and running it around the rim of the glass. Frank sauntered over, his hand extended toward Jess.
Anyone going to introduce me to this pretty thing, or are you both going to be rude assholes all night?
This is my girlfriend, Jess. Jess, this is my brother, Frank. Frank shot Ryan a look, and I knew it was due to my using the word girlfriend. I'd never called a girl that, let alone introduced one that way before.
Nice to see you settle down with someone so respectable, Nick.
And nice to meet you, Jess.
Nice to meet you, too,
she said, her smile as big as mine.
Mail call. Jess. Nick had introduced me to his brothers as his girlfriend. I knew that's what I was, but hearing it come out of his mouth when talking to his family made me feel even more special, if that was possible.
All right, everyone, last call,
Frank shouted from behind the bar as he rang the bell that hung from a rope, the tattoos on his right arm peeking out from underneath his gray shirt. Ryan laughed and shouted,
You don't have to go home.
Then he waved at the crowd and they yelled in response, But you can't stay here. Everyone in the bar cheered as I looked around, my eyes wide at the choreographed chaos that surrounded me.
Here you go, sweetheart. I hope you like it.
Ryan smirked before placing the light yellow drink in front of me and hustling down toward the other end of the crowded bar. Nick watched as I tilted the glass toward my lips, taking the tiniest of sips without even smelling it first. Oh,
good?
He asked. The citrus hit my throat, along with a few other flavors I couldn't even begin to place. It's delicious, I said, taking a gulp.
I thought you'd like it.
Ryan! The woman next to me shouted, and his head jerked toward the sound.
Yes, m'lady?
Ryan said as he stepped in front of her. I'd like one last adios, she shouted, and the rest of the girls in the bar yelled, Pantalones, in unison with her. Again, I had no idea what was going on, but Ryan winked at me, his sun-streaked hair falling in his eyes, before pulling his shirt off and tossing it near the register behind him. Nick rolled his eyes, but the smile never left his face as he leaned toward me.
Every freaking night.
I cocked my head. Every freaking night what? He takes his shirt off? I don't get it. I tried counting the well-defined abs that were now on display for everyone to enjoy.
At the end of the night, if a woman orders an adios pantalones, Ryan takes his shirt off and makes the drink before he sends them home.
Confused, I said, but the drink means take your pants off, not your shirt, right? Nick laughed.
Could you imagine if he took his pants off? Frank would kill him, and guys would stop coming here. The idiot takes off his shirt because it makes the girls go all swoony and dumb. And they always come back.
My jaw dropped open slightly. I could see how that might happen, but didn't want to admit that to Nick. If I weren't so into him, I'd definitely come here for the eye candy. The Fisher brothers. These guys should be gracing magazine covers and online websites the world over. They were that good-looking. And the swooning over them that was going on right now, I completely understood it. I just happened to favor the youngest one. Thank God he didn't work at the bar. A few days after formal and meeting Nick's brothers, I believed nothing could stop the role we were on. We felt solid, and I couldn't remember ever feeling so content with him as I felt now. Rachel called out from the hallway, Jess, you have a letter from Dean Carentha. Did you make his list again? She asked, teasing me about making the dean's list last semester for my outstanding grades. Did you get one? I narrowed my eyes at her. Letters from the dean were rare. Nope, she said before bouncing off into her room. When I opened the letter, my heart started to race with the first sentence.
Dear Miss Michelson, It is with much regret that I must inform you that your major of film production will no longer be offered as part of our school curriculum after the spring semester of this current school year. We know that choosing a major is an extremely difficult and personal process, and apologize for the late notice in this matter. If you would like help choosing a new major that we offer, please schedule an appointment with your counselor at your earliest convenience. Here at State, we pride ourselves on bringing our students diverse and useful majors that will help you in the real world. If this news means that State is no longer the right home for you, I encourage you to meet with your counselor as soon as possible to discuss your future options, as we may have recommendations and help that we can offer. I apologize that this letter does not bring better news. I hope that you will continue your education here at State, but understand if that is no longer an option for you. Sincerely, Dean Samuel Carentha.
Shit. 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 Nick had been right.
Jess, you're pale. I mean, paler than normal for a white girl.
Rachel's voice entered my head as I handed the letter to her, without saying a word. She gasped twice as she read it, only fueling my nausea.
What are you going to do?
I guess I'll meet with my counselor and see what she thinks.
This blows.
The last thing I want to do is transfer, but I can't stay here if they don't have my major anymore. I headed for my room, wanting to curl up into a ball and wish the bad news away.
Miss Michelson, you have a couple of options. My counselor brushed her long black hair over her shoulder. The first is you can switch majors and continue at State. I shook my head. I refused to change my major. That wasn't an option. Or you can transfer and I can help. The professor who used to run the program here transferred to Northern a while back. It's up in Northern California. I'm sure you've heard of it. Anyway, he runs the program there now, and they're really good. They've won awards the last 2 years. I'm more than happy to give him a call and put you two in touch with each other if you'd like.
Are there any schools in Southern California that still offer my major?
She cocked her head to the side. There are, although I don't believe that any of the programs are student-run, but you'd have to look that up yourself.
What do you mean?
I mean that they have the equipment, but they're all run by outsiders. Most of them don't even have students involved at all. No college film program in California is 100% student-owned and operated anymore, aside from Northern.
Do you at least have a list of the local schools?
I'm supposed to recommend you do all the legwork on your own, but since I feel like this is State's fault, I'll help you out.
Generous, I thought, keeping my sarcasm to myself.
She handed me a piece of paper where she had scribbled the names of 3 local schools for me to research.
Thanks,
I said before standing up.
Can I ask you something?
Of course, Miss Michelson.
Do you think any of the local schools are a smart choice for me?
Her smile faded away. I don't. Not for what you want to do. I honestly think that Northern is your best bet. You'll get a lot of hands-on experience there, and, like I mentioned before, they've been winning awards for their program. They're kind of a big deal. A scary thought hit me.
Will I be able to get in?
I asked, concerned that the best option wouldn't be an option at all. Yes, I will personally make sure that transferring isn't an issue, if that's what you choose to do.
My eyes burning, I sucked in a long breath and fought back the tears that threatened.
I'm sorry I don't have better news, she said. Would you like me to reach out to the professor running the program on your behalf?
Yes, please. That would be helpful, thanks.
She stood and extended her hand, and I shook it before turning and heading out the door.
I had no idea where I'd be going to school next year, but I knew for certain that it wouldn't be at State, and that meant leaving everything and everyone I loved behind for the sake of my future and my dreams. I didn't know if I could do it, but I knew that I had to.
Weak. Nick. When Jess said we needed to talk, my stomach rolled and my shoulders instantly tightened. I had no idea what the news could be, but my instincts told me it couldn't be good. She had never needed to talk before. Heading over to her apartment for dinner, when I could barely stomach the thought of even eating, I carried half a dozen cupcakes from her favorite bakery on the slim chance that she might tell me something worth celebrating. I realized that it was definitely not a cupcake-worthy moment as soon as I walked through the front door and caught sight of her face. She looked like she'd been crying, and I fucking hated it. Couldn't stand the thought. "What is it, baby?" I tossed the box on the counter, my concern only for the girl in front of me and not the cakes that had most likely just toppled over inside the box. I stepped close to her and traced the tear stains on her cheeks with my thumb. "Remember that day in the football stadium when you said they were canceling my major?" I thought back to that afternoon. It seemed like 100 years ago. I knew then that I had been right, but I had convinced her otherwise in an attempt to calm her fears. I'd all but forgotten about that conversation until this moment. Somehow, in the midst of falling for Jess, I'd convinced myself that I had been wrong too. "Yeah, I remember." My throat tightened.
"Well, you were right."
She shoved a piece of paper at me, and I took it out of her shaking hands, the knots in my stomach twisting tighter with each word that I read. "What does it mean?" I hoped it only meant she'd switch majors and stay at State, but I knew better than that. Hell, I knew Jess better than that. She would never stay at a school that couldn't help her reach her career goals. I wouldn't either if I were her.
I have to transfer to another school.
She stumbled on the words, clearly holding something back from me. I struggled to swallow as I forced myself to calm down. Transferring wasn't necessarily a deal-breaker. There were tons of other colleges in the area.
Which school? You'll still be close, right?
Surely she'd still be within a short driving distance after I graduated. Imagining Jess leaving my life wasn't something I was prepared for, and I sure as shit wasn't ready for the next 6 words that came out of her mouth. She shifted her weight, looking past me before meeting my gaze and sadly shaking her head.
"It's up north, in Northern California,"
she admitted, as another tear slid down her cheek. Jess understood the gravity that her moving held for us as well as I did. I took an involuntary step back and reached behind me, my hand searching for something for balance.
"Ask her to stay. Beg her to stay. Make her promises. Give her money. Buy the fucking school. Do anything to make sure this girl doesn't leave your life."
"That's too far, Jess."
"Nowhere is too far," I thought, but refused to say the words out loud. "I know, but it's the only school left in the entire state that has a student-run television station. Other schools have it, but they're run by other people. There aren't even students in some of the stations. Can you believe that? What kind of college has a program with no college students involved?"
Her voice rose with her frustration as my mind still tried to process the fact that she was leaving me, leaving us. When she continued, I swore I felt my heart crack.
"And this school has had the number one television and radio stations in the nation 2 years in a row. In the nation, Nick, I have to go there. I have to. They're the best," she said, the passion for her future pouring out of her with every syllable.
On a gut level, I completely understood where she was coming from and couldn't blame her a bit. But my heart ached with every breath I took as I tried to hold myself together. Not feeling steady on my feet, I pulled out a chair at her kitchen table and sat down. I didn't want her to go. Hell, it was the last thing on earth I wanted, but I could never tell her that. 2 seconds ago, I was about to drop to my knees and beg her to stay. But I could never ask her that now. Not for me. Not for us. I'd never forgive myself if she compromised her dreams or her future for me. I wasn't worth that.
"Say something," she begged before sitting across from me. I get why you want to go there, I said with as little emotion as I could.
That's it?
Her eyes implored me as she nervously twisted the silver ring on her finger. It's the best thing for your future.
I get it.
She stared at me as if expecting something else, but I wasn't sure exactly what. The table between us felt like an ocean. I don't know, Jess, what the hell do you want me to say?
How about something along the lines of, we'll be okay, or that my leaving is no big deal, and we'll figure it out?
She waved her hands in the air, her agitation rising.
I mean, I know it's obviously not ideal, but I was thinking...
No. My voice was firm. My resolute tone surprising even me. Jess froze and dropped her hands.
No what?
Northern California was practically another world away. Hell, it should be considered another state with how far it is. And Jess still had 2 years left of school while I was on the verge of graduating. There was no way that I would allow her to split her attention between her classes and me. There was absolutely no way that I'd do to her what my old man had done to me, making me feel like I had no choice in my own life. Girls were emotional. I knew that fact all too well. And if things got weird or bad between us, there was no doubt in my mind that Jess would put me first before herself. She would put us first. I could practically see it in my head already, her hauling ass back here to fix whatever was wrong between us, without giving it a second thought. And as much as I loved her for that, I could never let her do it. She'd skip classes, miss tests, do whatever it took to make us okay. I'd never forgive myself if I was the reason Jess didn't get what she'd always dreamed of. She needed to be able to concentrate all her energy on her schooling, on her future, and the best thing I could do for her was to remove myself from the equation completely, no matter how badly it hurt either of us in the process. This wasn't about me, and for once in my life when it came to a girl, I was making a decision that was the best one for her. She'd see that, eventually. I knew she would. I don't do long-distance relationships, I said in a curt tone, ignoring the warning bells that rang in my head. My heart pounded, revolting against the lie that had just left my mouth.
You don't do long-distance relationships?
She repeated my words back to me as her eyes filled with tears.
But I love you.
Her voice was so broken, so shattered, that I almost fell to my knees on the floor and begged for her forgiveness. It was the first time either of us had said those words to each other, and she was saying them now while I was breaking her heart. I lowered my head, refusing to meet her questioning gaze, knowing it would kill me to look at her right now. I can't do it, Jess. I'm sorry, I said. Lying again. I'd never dated anyone long distance before, but I would have done it for her. I would have done anything for this girl if I thought it was the best thing for her. But one quick glimpse into the future and I was terrified. I was so damn scared that I'd be the reason she moved back home or gave up her education, that it stopped all other reason from entering my brain. Her face was anguished when I finally gained the balls to look at her.
Have you ever tried? Being with someone long distance, I mean?
No, but I know myself. Hell, you know me, I can't date you long distance, it won't fucking work and you know it.
I thought we were different,
she said sadly. I wanted to scream that we were. I wanted to remind her that every single thing about her was different. But I kept my mouth firmly shut. Her eyes started to fill again, the blue of them turning a shade brighter with her tears, and the sight of it felt like a kick to the gut.
Nick, you're not even trying. We can talk every day on the phone, or we can video chat. I'll come down and see you every weekend that I can.
I'll come back all the time for you, and you can come up.
See, she was already putting us before everything else, and I refused to be more important than her goals, no matter what my dad insisted the girl in my life should be like. I wouldn't take away her choices when I never had any. I wouldn't make her feel like she had to choose. I'm graduating this year, Jess. I'll be working for my dad in a month. I won't have any free time, and neither will you once you get up there. You'll see, this isn't a good idea.
You won't even try?
Fuck yes, I'd try. I'd do anything for you. No. There's no point.
But, Nick...
The tears finally spilled down her cheeks. It killed me to be the one causing them, but I had to stay strong. I had to hurt us in the short term to make sure she had a successful long term. I'd had enough practice being an asshole to girls in the past, but it fucking murdered me to act this way toward her. Because it won't work, Jess, I can't do it. I can't have a girlfriend who's hundreds of miles away, I'm sorry. I wish I was a stronger guy, but I'm not. I'm not built for that kind of shit. I'd ruin everything we built in a week, and you'd never forgive me for it. The words were bitter, tasting all wrong as they spilled from my lips. Part of me hoped she'd believe the lies, while the rest of me prayed she knew me better than that.
What the hell are you saying? That you couldn't stay faithful if I wasn't here? Bullshit. That's bullshit, Nick, and you know it. She yelled.
I was so fucking relieved that she hadn't believed my crap, but I needed her to. I needed her to think I was weak. I honestly don't think I could, I said, doing my best to meet her eyes. Lies. More lies.
You're a coward.
She was right. I was a coward. I couldn't stand up to my dad. I couldn't fight for my future or for the one person in the world who I wanted by my side. Even though I wanted to hold on tighter, to make her all kinds of promises about how I'd wait for her and stay faithful while she was away, I released her instead. I let her go, breaking my own heart in the process. I might not be able to be strong for myself, but for Jess, I'd do anything. I should probably go. I pushed up from the chair quickly, almost knocking it to the floor. I needed to get the fuck out of that apartment before the walls closed in on me. I could barely breathe as it was, with Jess leaving and taking my heart with her. The worst part was she'd never even know she had it. She'd leave thinking I didn't want her anymore. She'd leave thinking I was perfectly intact, when the truth was I would never be whole again.
The end. Jess. The door shut softly behind Nick as he left, and I let the tears fall. I didn't understand at all how he could walk away from me like that. Walk away from us. Stupidly, I had assumed he would at least want to try to stay together. The situation wasn't ideal, but it never occurred to me that he might freak out about staying faithful. In my heart, I knew he was lying, but I didn't know why. How could I have been so wrong about everything?
Did I hear Nick leave? Rachel's door opened, and she and Trevor peered out from behind it. I shook my head at them, sobbing, unable to say anything.
Jess, what happened?
Are you okay?
Trevor asked, his concern genuine. Pulling myself together, I choked out. He broke up with me.
No way.
Trevor straightened up as if my words were hard to believe.
That's not possible.
Obviously it is possible. I hiccuped as I waved a hand at my face, which had to look like complete hell.
What did he say?
Rachel asked as she rubbed my back. I plopped to the floor, burying my head in my hands. God, my heart hurt. Every breath hurt. My mind raced. Well, I wished this was just a bad dream I'd wake up from. He said he couldn't do the long-distance thing, and he wouldn't even try. I looked up at my roommate and best friend. I feel so stupid. I thought he loved me.
He does love you,
I don't believe for one second that he doesn't, Rachel said softly, trying to reassure me.
He absolutely loves you, Jess, I can promise you that,
Trevor added. Their assurances should have made me feel marginally better, but they didn't. Nothing did. Nick had called it off, walked away, and taken my heart with him. How would I ever get over him? The only thing that saved my mental health was the fact that I was moving soon and had a ton of things to do. I still needed to choose my classes at a brand new school, and I had to find a place to live next semester ASAP. For my own self-preservation, I buried myself in my upcoming relocation and did my best not to think about Nick. It wasn't easy, but as each day faded into night and I hadn't called or texted him, I gave myself a mental pat on the back for being strong enough to walk away, when all I wanted to do was call him and beg for answers. I walked around in a daze the last few weeks of the semester, managing to avoid Nick completely, except for the single class we had together. It was like a knife in the gut when he moved from his usual seat next to mine to the front row, sitting near the girl who'd clamored for his attention on the first day of class. It took every ounce of my willpower to stay seated the entire lecture and not bolt or throw up. I hated not being near him, watching him effectively ignore me as if I didn't exist. How could I have meant so little to him when he meant so much to me? I forced Rachel to tell me repeatedly that I hadn't made up my relationship with Nick in my head, that I didn't see things that weren't really there. Somewhere between our beginning and our end, I had convinced myself that it wasn't real, that it was just the plot of some bad romance novel. And every time I asked, Rachel would say the same thing. You didn't make anything up. It was real. He loved you. Hell, he probably still does. The entire campus seemed to know that we had broken up, but no one knew why. The rumor mills spun about our demise, but Rachel ran interference like an NFL linebacker so efficiently that I rarely had to deal with any of it. Most of the lies that spread were generally spoken behind my back and not to my face. And for that, I was grateful. When I found the courage to make eye contact with other girls, half of them gave me sympathetic looks, while the other half sneered at me, clearly excited that Nick was on the market again. On the last day of class, Nick stopped in mid-step as he was passing by my seat. He turned, staring right into my eyes. I held my breath as I waited for him to speak, dying to hear his voice, no matter what he might say. But instead, he shook his head and rushed out the door. I jumped up from my seat, determined to confront him. But when I got outside, he was gone. It was like he had vanished into thin air, nowhere to be seen. I couldn't believe that that would be the last time I would ever see him. School was over, and I was moving. I couldn't wrap my head around how well I thought I knew him and how little I truly must have. I couldn't comprehend any of it.
We all knew it was coming. I'm just shocked it took as long as it did,
a familiar voice said, and I came to a sudden halt. I told myself not to look up, not to give her the time of day, but my eyes didn't listen to my pleading. Carla Crawford stood in front of me, her hip jutted out so that she looked like she was posing for a magazine cover. What do you want? I asked breathlessly, before gathering something that resembled gumption. To rub it in my face? You want to hear that you were right? She raised a perfect eyebrow.
I already know I was right.
Then what do you want? I asked again, tired of her games. She leaned in close to my ear, the smell of her perfume overwhelming, and I fought off the urge to wave my hands in the air.
I wanted to tell you in person that I'll be taking your place now. And unlike you, I won't be going anywhere. Ever. Nick and I are a sure thing, and nothing and no one is going to stand in our way.
I bristled at her words, and as much as I didn't want to give them any weight or value, something inside me did. I'm not sure who you're trying to convince, I said, hoping my words sounded stronger than I currently felt. Me or you? She made an annoyed sound before straightening, her height advantage making her seem to tower over me.
I don't owe you anything, Jess. I was simply trying to be courteous by giving you a heads up. I won't make that mistake again.
She deliberately bumped her shoulder against mine as she strode away, leaving me standing there alone as other students filed out around us. I dropped my sunglasses over my eyes and forced the tears to stay at bay as I walked across campus, staring straight ahead to avoid any further confrontations. If anyone else approached me, I knew I wouldn't be able to keep my composure. To be honest, I wasn't sure how I'd held it together for so long in the first place. My half of the apartment was in boxes as Rachel watched me pack. I can't believe this is really happening, she said for the 50th time that afternoon. I stopped sealing up the box that I had just filled and looked up at her from my spot on the floor. I know, it's not fair. I just figured we'd be here the whole time together, she said wistfully, that we'd graduate together and throw some stupid party for the two of us. I swallowed around the lump in my throat. I know, I did too. I had never once thought that I'd have to leave state. When I had gotten accepted, it was one of the best days of my life. Now I was sitting on my apartment floor, packing up my life so I could start my junior year at a brand new school in a brand new city where I knew no one and had no friends. Rachel plopped down in front of me and took my hands in hers. Stay. Don't go. Who cares about your major and your goals? Your dreams are dumb. Make new dreams and stay here with me, Jess. She said seriously with a slight laugh. Pouting, I said, I can't. I know. Hit with inspiration, I perked up. But you can come visit. And don't think I won't. That's only an hour flight or one super boring 6-hour-long road trip. But don't think that I'm not coming there. You do not get to have a new best friend. I won't stand for it, Gringa. I laughed. I can't even imagine anyone taking your place. I blew out a soft breath. My life is going to be so boring without you. And don't you forget it, she said, her accent coming out a little stronger as she wagged her finger in my direction. A knock at the door startled both of us, and we turned to stare at it as if we could figure out who was behind it if we looked hard enough. Trevor? I asked. Rachel shook her head. He's at work until 8. She pushed up off the floor and headed into the living room. When she opened the front door, my heart slammed against my chest as the sound of his voice filled the room. Nick. Nick is here. Rachel stepped back into my room, sounding uncharacteristically nervous as she said, Chica? I swallowed hard. It's really him? I asked, my voice barely above a whisper. She nodded. Should I let him in or stomp on his nuts? I glanced around at my room as her options echoed in my mind. It looked like a tornado had torn through it. Giving her a slight smile, I said, I guess you can leave his nuts alone for now. So I'm sending him in? When I nodded, Rachel disappeared. Nick stood in my doorway a minute later, wearing an odd expression I couldn't quite place.
Hey.
He looked tired, defeated even, but I wasn't sure that it had anything to do with me. Maybe he looked that way because his reality after graduation had sunk in. Nick had to go work for his dad's company instead of following his heart and working with his brothers at Sam's. I knew how that prospect tore him up, and it made me hurt for him. Remembering that he'd addressed me, I offered a nonchalant, Hey, in response. He stood there, his hulking frame casting a shadow over me. When he didn't say anything else, I returned to my packing, not knowing exactly what he wanted from me, and half afraid to look him in the eyes. They'd be my undoing. A moment later, he sat down directly across from me. He said nothing, his silence stabbing me a little more in my gut with each moment that passed between us. Why are you here? I finally asked him, my broken heart desperate to know why he had shown up to destroy what was left of it.
I wanted to see you,
he said,
his voice sounding pained. I'm really going to miss you, Jess.
I finally raised my eyes to meet his, praying that I wouldn't get emotional when I looked into their depths. The eyes of the man I had fallen in love with, still loved, but didn't want me anymore. You're going to miss me? I managed to ask through my surprise.
You find that hard to believe?
I shook my head, not sure what I believed anymore. Don't say that, Nick. Don't say things like that to me right now. Swallowing hard, I gathered my courage and added, unless it's followed up with something about you not letting me go, or you wanting us to get back together because you realized you made a huge mistake. If you're not here to tell me any of those things, then don't say you're going to miss me. It's not fair. I bit my lip, still determined to keep it together.
I'm sorry. I mean it, though. I am going to miss you.
He winced, looking at the floor for a moment as my stomach tightened. It was so hard to be this close to him and not be a part of his life. After all, I had wrapped myself up in all things Nick Fisher so tightly that not being with him when he was this near seemed foreign. Looking at him from a distance seemed wrong. It all felt wrong. Why didn't he feel it too? Then why are you giving up on us? I hate you for that. My eyes filled with tears as my inner strength failed me.
I know. I know you do. I just...
He squeezed his eyes shut for a second before giving me an intense look. You just what? Can walk away like we never mattered? Like I never mattered? His jaw tightened.
You know that's not true.
I really don't, I said, fighting to keep my voice steady as the tears threatened. He pushed up to his feet.
I shouldn't have come. I'm sorry, Jess, I just wanted to say goodbye to you in person.
Everything inside me fell to pieces at those words. Goodbye seemed so final, so resolute, like something we could never overcome. Part of me had held out hope that Nick was here to seal the cracks he had inflicted on my heart. But he wasn't. I was moving, and he was letting me go without even trying to keep us together. He didn't want me. Why I needed to constantly remind myself of that fact was beyond irritating. Goodbye, Nick. He reached out a hand, and I only hesitated a moment before accepting it and launching myself into his arms. I hated the way I still wanted to be touched by him, but I loved him. I couldn't shut off my feelings as easily as he had. I breathed him in, my hands finding their way to the back of his neck as I committed him to memory. The curve of his neck, the warmth of his skin, the stubble on his cheek. His lips found my cheek and I closed my eyes, knowing it would be the last time that I would feel them on my skin. I wanted to remember how they felt, how soft they were, how gentle he was with me. When he released me and stepped back, I almost gasped at the distance. It felt like I was losing him all over again. I had finally gotten to a place where I didn't feel the pain of his loss with every breath, but now I felt like I would have to start rehab all over again to kick my Nick addiction. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a small box before handing it to me.
Open it later. After I'm gone, okay?
I stared at it a second, trying to figure out what could possibly be inside. Okay.
You'll do great up north, Jess. You'll be great. Go be great.
He leaned down and placed another kiss on my forehead, his lips lingering too long, but I refused to complain. With a small squeeze of my shoulder, he hurried toward the door before turning back one last time.
You don't need the luck, Jess, but I wanted you to have it.
Confused, I frowned as he disappeared from my sight. I wanted to chase after him, but chasing a man who didn't want you was pointless. Even my broken heart knew that much. The door slammed, and I stood there with the box in my hand, my heart in my hand, my pride in my hands, feeling overwhelmed and emotional. Jez? Rachel said in a small voice, and I looked up to see her standing in the doorway. Is he gone? I nodded, afraid that if I tried to speak, I wouldn't be able to find my voice.
What's in your hand?
She asked, and I shrugged.
Open it, right this instant.
I removed the top, and when my gaze landed on the red and white striped poker chip nestled on the cotton inside, I almost dropped the box. He'd given me his grandfather's lucky poker chip?
Why the hell did he give you a poker chip?
Rachel asked, her expression as confused as my heart and mind. I don't know, I admitted.
But does it mean something?
She reached for it, but I pulled the box away.
Is it an inside joke between you two? I don't get it.
It was his grandfather's, I said, and then shook my head, not wanting to give away any more details of a story that wasn't mine to share.
Are you going to thank him for it?
Thank him for it? Thank him for what, exactly? Coming over here, confusing the living shit out of me by giving me this gift that supposedly means the world to him when he refuses to stay with me because I'm moving 400 miles away? No, I'm not going to thank him for it, Rachel. She threw up her hands in defeat.
Easy, Tiger, I was only asking.
I know. Sorry. I just don't understand him at all. I can't take this. I shoved the box into Rachel's hand.
What do you want me to do with it?
She pulled out the chip and flipped it back and forth in her palm, studying it like it held magical powers. Give it back to him, please.
What if he won't take it?
I don't care. Throw it at him. Tell him it's not mine to keep. Just tell him I couldn't keep it, that it means too much to him and it shouldn't be with someone else.
She drew in a loud, dramatic breath. He won't like that, Jess.
I know. So you'll do it, right?
A wicked smile crept over her face. Of course I'll do it.
I smiled back at my little Spitfire roommate, feeling more conflicted than ever as I finished packing. She was right. Nick wouldn't like it, but I couldn't care about that right now. Right now, I needed to finish packing and start my new life without Nick. Without Rachel, without State. A new life I never saw coming.
Leaving home. Jess.
Leaving Rachel had been hard. The day my dad came to help me move out of our apartment, I couldn't stop crying. I knew it was a combination of leaving behind my best friend, a school I genuinely loved, and allowing the emotions of everything regarding Nick to finally bubble up to the surface. Transferring to Northern was the best thing for my future, and I never questioned that decision. But it still hurt to say goodbye when I didn't really want to leave.
I'll miss you so much. As soon as you get settled, I'm coming up, Rachel said.
You better, I said fiercely.
You can't get rid of me that easily, Chica. You're my white girl, she said with a smile. Before delivering a rapid-fire, Spanish-filled rant, she knew I wouldn't be able to understand.
When I rolled my eyes dramatically, she just talked faster, gesturing with her hands as she spoke.
Stop! I laughed through my tears. You know I don't know what the hell you're saying.
I know, that's why it's so fun for me. I was just threatening anyone who tried to think that they could take my best friend from me. She stuck out her tongue before wrapping me in a tight hug.
Text me every day.
Of course. I squeezed her hard before walking out of our apartment for the last time. Refusing to look back, I put one foot in front of the other and headed toward my dad's truck, now full of all my belongings.
You okay, sweetheart?
He asked when I buckled myself in. I nodded as I swiped at my cheek. I will be.
That's my strong girl,
he said, then put the truck in gear and drove us back home for the summer, away from my old life. The summer flew by. I found an apartment to share next semester with another student, with the help of the film production department head at Northern. He had given me his personal email address after my counselor at State had reached out to him and had been helping me in every step of my transfer journey. I knew he didn't have to be so kind, but I was beyond thankful for the way he went out of his way for me. My classes were scheduled, I had a new place to live come fall, and I hadn't even visited the campus yet. Feeling like my upcoming journey was pretty much settled, I I started working with my parents at their deli to occupy my time. Any moments that weren't crazy busy were the emotional death of me. I needed all the help I could get to keep my mind and thoughts occupied so I wouldn't focus on Nick's silence, but it didn't usually work. He was a force to be reckoned with. His memory refused to be pushed aside, even though he had easily dismissed me. The moments when I really started to miss him, I reminded myself that he had looked me in the eye at my old apartment and told me he couldn't stay faithful. I also reminded myself that he hadn't called or texted me the entire summer. I knew he was busy working with his dad, but no excuse truly lessened the sting. I felt rejected, cast aside, discarded. I was so mad that he could go day in and day out without reaching out to me, showing me with every 24 hours that passed how little he truly cared. But then, I was so happy he didn't reach out to me, terrified of how my heart and mind would react to any attention from him. I was nothing if not a woman of extremes and contradictions. One second, I was so pissed at him for not asking me to stay. The next, I was so thankful that he hadn't. My heart ached when I thought about him not fighting for me, for us. Just as quickly, my heart beat in relief that he had let us go. If he would have asked you to stay, what would you have said? Rachel asked one night over the phone. I planted the heels of my feet against the wall as I leaned back onto my mattress. I would have stayed, I said with a long sigh. At least I really would have wanted to. Maybe that's exactly why he didn't ask. Or maybe he was happy to see me go. I said it like a question, but the words tasted wrong in my mouth. My heart knew they were lies, but my bitter mind wanted them said anyway. Rachel laughed. You're being stupid. I know. How's Trevor? Tell me something good, please, and not Nick-related. He's great. I've got nothing to report except we're really happy. It's sick, right? No, it's sweet. You deserve it. Thanks, Chica.
It's true, I said through a yawn. Hey, did you ever give Nick back the poker chip?
I'd pretended to have forgotten about Nick's gift, but the truth was that that poker chip was on my mind almost as much as he was. What had it meant? Why had he given it to me? She let out an uncomfortable laugh. Not yet. I haven't seen him since he started working for his dad, but I will, okay? Okay. Maybe wait until I move up north, so that I'm really far away when he gets pissed off about getting it back. I suggested, hoping that the additional distance would lessen whatever reaction Nick had about it, if he had a reaction at all. I probably won't see him before you leave anyway, but I'll wait. Thanks. You'll be okay, Jess. You know that, right? Rachel's tone softened as she lowered the protective wall she always maintained, allowing her sensitive side to come through. I do know that. Honestly, I think I've been doing okay, considering I feel like my heart beats in broken pieces now. A piece of my heart felt like it had lodged in my throat, and I was thankful to be alone and having this conversation on the phone instead of in person. You've been doing more than okay. You've been really great. I just know you're hurting, even if you don't say it all the time. I know what Nick did really messed with you, and I'm sorry. I wish I knew what he was thinking or why he did it. He told me what he was thinking and why he did it, Rach. He was thinking that I wasn't worth staying faithful for, that he could never date someone long distance. He spelled it out for me. I don't know what more you think there is to know. She groaned. You know I think that's all bullshit, every word of it. Well, it doesn't matter, I said with attitude. Because it didn't. What Rachel thought, what I thought, none of it made a difference if Nick refused to change his mind. You're right, I just want to see you happy again. Maybe you'll meet someone super hot at your new school. I think I'm done with guys for a while. I let out a small giggle. Ha, and that's when you find one. What will Nick do if he finds out you're dating someone? Oh my God, I can't even imagine. It's going to be epic. I groaned, wondering when every single thing would stop revolving around Nick. Or be associated with him. First of all, I'm nowhere near ready for that. I really just want to focus on my classes. It was true. I did want to focus on my classes, to make contacts, and hopefully score an incredible internship this semester. But even more true was the fact that my heart wasn't ready to date, and neither was the rest of me. I wasn't over Nick, and I wasn't sure when I would be. Dating someone new hadn't even factored into my mind until Rachel brought it up. Okay, shit, Trevor's here. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Night. Tell him I said hi. Once we'd hung up, I dropped my phone on the bed and allowed myself to be flooded with emotions. I was excited to move to a brand new place where I didn't know anyone. I was terrified to leave everyone I'd ever known for a brand new place where I didn't know anyone. But mostly, I felt sad and confused, and my heart ached in all the places where Nick had once lived. Apparently, he'd permeated every part of me, because I currently hurt all over. I settled into Northern California pretty easily. Sure, it was a completely different environment and atmosphere than what I was used to, but I was the one who decided to move, so I was determined to make the best of it. My new roommate, Brooke, was really nice, but also a little socially awkward. When I walked into our apartment the first time, located conveniently across the street from campus, she barely glanced up from her computer to give me a smile, her light brown hair pulled back into a messy ponytail. As soon as I started bringing my things inside, she disappeared into her room and closed the door. At first I thought she was rude, but soon learned that she was painfully shy. I wondered briefly how she would make it in a major like television production, but my reservations disappeared when she showed me an editing project she was working on for her YouTube channel. She was talented, smart, and creative, all things I wouldn't have guessed simply by looking at her and observing her body language. Brooke was completely focused on her classes, and I appreciated that, figuring she would help me stay focused too, instead of distracted with things I didn't need,